This is the Friday, June 15th, 2018 version of the market analysis segment for Market to Market. The trade was dominated by tariffs this week. The president's move triggered a date certain of July 6th for the first round of Chinese counter tariffs, many on agricultural products. For the week, July wheat dropped 21 cents while the nearby corn contract plunged 17 cents. Chinese tariff retaliation overshadowed the soy complex, sending the July soybean contract into a tailspin, nosediving 64 cents. July meal fell $18.90 per ton. In the softs, December cotton ended its rally, shrinking $5.09 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, July Class 3 milk futures lost 62 cents. The livestock sector finished mixed as the August cattle contract shed a dollar. August feeders put on 70 cents, and the July lean hog contract moved up $1.12. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index skyrocketed 132 ticks. Crude oil lost 68 cents per barrel. COMEX gold melted $24.20 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index dropped more than 13 points to settle at 463.30. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Dan Huber. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to have you, Dan. And we're going to take a Facebook question off the top here. And of course, folks, you can send in your social media questions each week to get aired on the show. Dan, we've got a question here from Chad in Dunbar, Nebraska.
Okay.
Do the grain markets have a chance to regain what they've lost?
Well, certainly we always have a chance. But, I think right now we've kind of beat things down a little bit artificially low. And markets are trying to over-anticipate worst-case scenario if these trade tariffs really came into being. You know, and even what was announced today, I mean, keep in perspective, they are set to take effect on July 6th. Mm-hmm. So it does leave a little room for negotiation. And certainly I don't think China wants to get any worse of a trade war, so hopefully there's a little cooler heads prevail over the next few days. So, but realistically, it's going to take some time to develop demand once again, particularly in the beans. I mean, we've really seen a lack of demand, particularly from that Far East sector, China in specifically. And, so really would say we need a weather issue. You know, right now there doesn't seem to be any weather issues outside of what's happening in Texas and the southern plains.
Affecting some of those wheat acres.
Wheat and the cotton people. But, for the corn and soybean belt right now, we have a pretty favorable outlook. So until we can see something get a little scare there, it's going to be tough to think we're going to get back to levels that we were here even 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So. And I wanted to touch on something really quick here as mm-hmm. we talk about tariffs in your newsletter this week, and I want to make sure I get the quote right. You
sure.
said, if it actually comes to fruition, what is left to fret about? It's now fully factored into the price structure, and you were referencing the mm-hmm. the tariffs there. How do you know mm-hmm. that this has already been factored into the markets at this point?
Well, one, it's not like it was necessarily a surprise this week. We've really been talking about this since March, and we've had several waves of kind of selling, washing people out of there. You know, certainly we can't guarantee that it's, this was the last of it. It's the last of the story we're going to hear about it. But on the same token, you can only beat a story for so long. You can only take demand down so far. I mean, that's still on a worldwide basis. People still have to have product. So I think psychologically the market's probably pushed a little bit too far just in kind of a panic mode. As I commented this morning, I think we have a new phrase to use in the commodity market, which is a tariff trade terror. So it's just kind of a terrorized situation, but maybe we've moved beyond the worst of it here at this point.
Well, certainly I think producers sitting at home are hoping for that. Let's talk about wheat. Are there any price indicators that you're watching to signal the market to go back or go lower into July wheat?
Well, certainly the wheat market is kind of the exception to the rule when it comes to the grain-soy complex at this point. Now the reaction lower this week, it didn't really necessarily turn the trend down. But, that said, it's kind of pushing us on the border. You've got July wheat back towards the $5 area. Wouldn't take much of a push below $5, and I think you'll start to panic longs a little bit. In this market, we know there's significant damage done to the U.S. wheat crop. I mean, we're certainly not going to have a robust crop here by any stretch of the imagination. You've been actually worldwide been hearing a lot of the Soviets, the Ukraine, Europe. Everybody's been ratcheting down their production estimates just little by little. So, if anything, we're seeing the world wheat numbers start to contract. That generally means steady to higher prices. So certainly wheat could go through a correction over the short term. I don't think it's going to be the kind of wipeout that we witnessed over the soybean mm-hmm. market and to a lesser extent in the corn market.
Okay, so. Well, I want to get to more wheat discussion, sure. which you can find in our Market Plus section at iptv.org/MTOM, but that's all the time we have right now for it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about corn.
Sure.
New crop corn, that's of course on a lot of producers' minds.
Certainly.
With the current high in for December at 429.5, is that going to be the high for the year?
I think at this point, probably a pretty good probability. I mean, the only thing that would really change that would be a very, very serious weather mm-hmm. issue. Not that that could materialize, but I mean, we're getting a little bit late in the game to really get something that serious there. You know, that said, I don't know if we have a lot of downside potential yet either. We've actually taken back about 50% of the rally we've seen over the last year, maybe just a little bit more than that. But we've really returned to levels that used to be resistance. If we went back to the fourth quarter of last year, this was a price range that we were having a difficult time moving above. I think it should turn around and find support there. And the reality of the corn market is that at 88 million acres, you know, we just aren't going to produce an excess amount of crop. We already are looking at a reduction in domestic ending stocks, and in the world ending stocks, an even greater percentage-wise reduction. So I think that really kind of limits the amount of downside pressure there. But boy, to get us moving back in the other direction, you know, we need a little weather stimulus to come around to help us out there.
So. And when you look at weather issues, is it the same story in the soybean market? I think we put in a low in June last year, mm-hmm. June 23rd. Do you expect us to follow that same pattern unless we have a weather issue?
I wouldn't be surprised. Again, I guess the question then is how much can you really rebound? I mean, if it's going to come, it's probably going to be via the help of soybean meal and demand in the meal. You know, interestingly enough, I was looking at the bean market this morning. Returning to the $9 level, which is exactly where we were a year ago at this point in time. But if you look over the last 3.5, almost 4 years, 169 weeks, we have only spent a total of 29 weeks below $9. I mean, very limited amount of time here. So that it does seem to be a value area on the soybean market. Yes, I'd like to think we're gonna stem the decline. But here again, we need a stimulus to bring us back out. We could easily see, yes, technical rebounds. But unless we see a real resurgence in the demand in the meal side, or, of course, a weather issue maybe later in July or August, the upside is going to be limited for now.
If I'm sitting on some old crop beans, should I be looking to sell them now, or do you think that they'll get a corrective bounce back up?
Tough. I mean, if you've sat on them this long, it's going to be a little bit taxing to try to wait for that bounce. But if I was in that situation, I'd probably sit tight and see if we couldn't get a rebound before I'd price them.
So. Okay. Let's move on to the livestock markets. Mm-hmm. With futures at a $10 approximately cash discount to cash, or at a discount to cash, mm-hmm. is this market signaling further strength or further lower cash prices?
I really think the hog market in particular right now really looks to be turning the corner. Now, 2 days ago, we really had pushed through some resistance that has held us back here for the last 30 to 45 days. You're starting to see some of the spreads between the various cash markets narrow up in that hog market, which I think is indicative that I don't think it's ever truly been reflected some of the health issues that we witnessed over the winter months. Now that's finally being showing up here in the slaughter levels, and I think that is really what's kind of lifting that hog market out of there. Psychologically, absolutely, we were beat down thinking that, you know, these tariffs are really going to make a big difference in the trade. Not that they couldn't be harming, but I think it's been more psychological than anything at this point. We're still looking at, you know, 9% increase in exports on hogs this year. We're up about 12% on cattle. So it's the demand has been there, so we just need to kind of move beyond this concern that we're not going to be able to get our product out of this country and maybe start focusing more on the numbers.
So. Are you concerned about boxed beef values? I think they've fallen to the lowest levels here in quite a while.
I was going to say, I should have moved right into a cattle. Cattle, a little bit different situation. Yes, we have plenty of cattle on feed. You know, certainly the demand is not quite there. The numbers don't seem to have any issues being tightening as we move ahead. So it may be a little bit tougher road to move the cattle out of these levels without seeing a great stimulus in moving beef out somewhere out of this country. And, of course, you have the other caveat there is with the dollar now pushing the new highs for the year.
Right.
Certainly doesn't help out that cause either. So it's a lot of headwinds in the cattle market especially.
With that said about the dollar, do you expect that to affect just exports in general?
You know, and granted, it's difficult to look at a one-to-one relationship. I mean, just because the dollar went higher, that doesn't mean corn exports are going to suffer or necessarily even cattle or hogs. That said, it does psychologically impact commodities as a whole. And if you look at them over a very long-term perspective, they have an inverse relationship. So if there's demand for any specific commodity, sure, that's going to remain there, but they might be hunting around just a little bit more. where's the best price going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably one of the good things on the soybeans right now is we have beat it down to where we're absolutely competitive versus South America again. So that could help us stimulate a little more demand in that market. So, of course, in the livestock trade, you know, not a lot of other avenues to go to. So it particularly for the hogs. So it again, that's where I'm a little more optimistic on seeing some extra business in the hogs right now.
Absolutely. And speaking of hogs, July hogs closed at their highest level since on Wednesday, since February 27th. What happened there?
You know, and again, just what I touched on a little bit earlier, I think we are finally starting to see a few less numbers coming in certain select markets than was anticipated. Probably just was never really reflected, like I say, some of the issues there were with health over the winter months and the death loss that was out there. So between that and nice summer demand as we move through further into the barbecue season, I think it's kind of lifted them up. So again, the from a technical side, about a week and a half ago, the hog market just really started to act like, you know, we had a change at foot, and it looks like that kind of came to fruition this week.
Absolutely. I think to tie this all together here, if I'm a livestock producer, an end user, should I be looking to lock in my feed needs now? And if so, how long out are you looking to lock them in?
You know, certainly, we are in the feed and livestock industry, so that's something we've discussed pretty intently here this week. And yes, I mean, we did with the breakdown we saw yesterday and today, you know, we did start looking at locking in both corn needs and soybean meal needs as we move out between here and the fall. So, you know, certainly you don't go in with both feet necessarily, but, you know, we think it was time to kind of start tipping into the water and starting taking a little protection in there.
So. All right. Definitely looking to take some protection. Dan Huber, thank you so much for your time today.
Certainly. My pleasure.
All right. Well, that wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. Check out our YouTube channel as well. Tell everyone you've clicked subscribe at youtube.com/markettomarket. Join us again next week when we explore how one creamery is cashing in on its high-quality dairy fat. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.
Market to Market is a production of Iowa Public Television, which is solely responsible for its content.
Wherever your operation takes you, or who you share it with, we'll be where we've been all along. With you, from the word go. Proud sponsor of Market to Market.
Tomorrow. For over 100 years, we've worked to help our customers be ready for tomorrow. Trust in tomorrow. Information is available from a Grinnell Mutual agent today. And by Sukup Manufacturing Company. Offering a full line of grain drying and storage equipment and steel buildings, Sukup Manufacturing is on a mission to protect and preserve your crop and the tools that produce it.